Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Paul Silva. This is Seared Stories from the Stove podcast. Oh my goodness. I wasn't sure if I was going to get this one done today because this gripper here, my little peaky blinders, my little sneaky gliders. I can't think of any other rhymes. I don't know if you can tell. It's kind of puffy. And yesterday, I couldn't even hold a pen in this. It kind of reminded me when I had carpal tunnel from all the years of tossing pans. And I was like, I don't know. I can't even type. I couldn't use a mouse, anything. And I'm like, I don't know if I can operate the equipment to do the podcast this week. And luckily, it's gotten a bit better overnight. I do have a physio this afternoon, this evening. I'm so excited. I've never been so excited to see a doctor. But it's better. Not that it matters to you. It's okay. We're all good. We're all safe and we're all contained. Welcome again. I'm going to jump into this. We're going to be talking about talking. More specifically, using your voice. Finding your voice, using it. This past weekend, I did a talk. My first ever. I have done a gazillion videos, you know, with my little phone. I've done lots of these. I've done tons. Like, cameras, no problem. In front of people, live, problem. I was very nervous. And I'd been taking a program, a wonderful program, on how to create a talk. Not only how to create the talk, but all sorts of tips on how to speak and how to use your body and using the stage space, all that kind of stuff. And I had done this, it was a 6-minute talk, and it took me about 2 months of working on this. I had rehearsed it hundreds of times, literally hundreds of times. And we had to do it in front of about 150 people. Nervous. I didn't want to do it. Because we did a dress rehearsal the week before, and I was shaking. My voice was shaking. My hands were shaking. It was awful. And I thought, oh, if that was like in front of 10 people, what's it going to be like in front of 150? Anywho, I did it. There was 8 of us, and there was other things going on, but there was 8 of us doing our talks, and they had mentors there, and they / judges, and they scored us, and there were People's Choice Awards where they asked people, you know, in the audience who resonated most with them. And then they had the judges doing third, second, and first. And yours truly, I don't know, I worked at it. I got the People's Choice Award and first place. So that was very kind. I had no expectations. I had no expectations other than doing my talk without screwing up. But it was wonderful outside of that. It was wonderful because I was able to actually do it. To move through that fear. What's funny, I also have a fear, if you don't know this, I have a lot of anxiety around driving on highways. For the last couple of years, I don't know why, I cannot drive on highways. But guess what I was doing to get to these places for this program? Driving highways. So it was like I was killing 2 fears in one. So that I was really proud of myself and happy to do that. So I share that, not to just myself, but to demonstrate to y'all that these kinds of things will pop up. There's going to be times you don't have to be doing it on a stage, but there are times where you're going to need to use your voice. You're going to have to find your voice and be able to communicate, whether it's in the boardroom, whether it is in the play yard, if you're out with other parents, whatever it is, if your social groups, your clubs, wherever, your voice is going to be you. It's your essence, and it's how you show up in so many ways. You know, this whole thing of being on stage, it's very interesting because I'm not a coach who has always dreamed of being on stage. I know many coaches who do. They see TED Talks. I never was one of those. But I always knew that one day I'd probably be on stage. And I've had even readings like with mediums and, you know, all these psychics and all that kind of stuff. And all of them have said at one point, you're going to be on stages. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. And lo and behold, probably that might, there might be more. I don't know. But that voice, so many of us contract, and everything I'm going to be talking about today is me. Okay. So it's not like all of a sudden I'm Tony Robbins. Not at all. I still struggle with my voice in my personal life, in, you know, work stuff. I can still really shrink down. And probably you might be one of those people as well. Or maybe in certain situations, you tend to maybe pull back, or your voice just goes quiet. And so I'm definitely going to share some tips on how to find that and open up. But, you know, in terms of the kitchen stuff, you know, because I always try to turn this from the kitchen. I have, and my kids know this because my wife tells them, and I've mentioned this before, I have what I call my kitchen voice. And my kitchen voice is, you know, my wife says to my kids, you don't want him to get to his kitchen. You don't want your dad to get to your kitchen voice, to his kitchen voice. My kitchen voice is loud, because if you've ever been in any professional kitchen, the one thing that is the loudest, it's not the pots and pans, it's not the plates in the dish pit, it's not the coming and going from the servers and all, it's the hoods. The hoods above, which you have to have. They are very loud. And I know, like, a lot of times I'd open and it's dead quiet, but as soon as you turn those hoods on, it's just, it's already loud before everyone steps in. And so when you're expediting, and by expediting, if you don't know, so when you have everyone there in the kitchen, it's kind of like the person who sort of conducts, if you will. So you have different stations and they're producing different dishes, and you want to have everything come out at the same time for each table. And so you, the expediter, usually the chef or sous chef, sometimes not, but most of the time it is, they will get all the bills, the chits, and they will organize it and they will direct, okay, now we're firing this, now get this, okay. And then you have to orchestrate this. You have to get this side working with this side, and because they're all independent and they're all just listening to you. They're listening to your voice. And so not only do you have to be organized, you have to be confident, and you got to be heard. And you can't just be meek. No. Roast. In 2 minutes, fire this. Give me the two medium wells, the medium amount of this. Garmanger, fire the apps for this. And table 27, can you do? Like, you've got to direct traffic. It's like an air traffic controller. And so communication is key. Speed is key. You've got to be clear and direct, because that's all they're listening to. They're listening to your voice. So for all those years, and I'm good at expo. I was very good at it. Probably one of the best I've known. And I'm not bragging. If you know me, I don't say things like that very often. I was probably one of the best. It taught me to find my voice. It taught me to be confident and clear and have authority. And when doing that, it helped me in my personal life too, right? It's like, if you're leading in any way, and by leading, again, it doesn't have to be work, and you don't have to have the kitchen voice, which is the loud voice. I'm not screaming. Kitchen voice is not screaming. Kitchen voice is very loud and direct. Hey guys, can you get me this, this, this? That's like stage one of my kitchen. That's the lower end. It gets higher, louder, because if I'm trying to reach someone across the room or I'm getting a little perturbed, it gets loud. And then finally, level three is like, you don't want to be around me. So as a leader, whether it's at home or anywhere else, you want to be clear. You want to be heard. And it was great. It's great when you can start to find that voice, because you need to communicate. You have to be able to communicate. You need to be able to be clear, ask for what you need, and not have any confusion, because that's the thing. When you get into muttering and murmuring and you're looking at your feet and all that, like, people aren't going to be, they're not going to understand, and they're also going to feel like you're not confident. And part of this communication and all that is confidence. Now, for anyone like me, waving my hand here, who has struggled with, you know, self-esteem, self-worth issues, all that kind of stuff, your voice is a representation of that in so many ways. Now, I know some people can overcompensate. I understand. They just, burr, 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 they just, you know, and they just feel like crap inside. We know that. But for a lot of people, when they don't feel confident, they don't feel like people want to hear them. When they feel like who would care, they tend to lower their voice. They shrink upon themselves. They contract. And when you're able to practice getting in front of even one other person and be clear and direct and, you know, looking at them with, you know, eye contact and your posture and your chest out and your shoulders back and all that, people will see you in a different light, even if you don't believe it quite yet yourself. And it's an amazing thing. And that's some of the things that I was learning in this program, is just how I approach, how I step into myself. And so that people can hear me. In fact, it's funny, we had microphones and I said, I don't even think I need microphones. I've got my kitchen voice. But they insisted. Anyway, so how do you find your voice? Good question. So I'm going to share with you 5 ways that you can tap into speaking with more clarity, more oomph, you know, even if you're a little timid mouse. I'm going to share that in a second. And just as a note, I almost didn't want to say this, but as a note, some of y'all, and I think you know who you are, some of y'all need to pull that shit back. Like, in learning to take up more space for yourself, you also don't want to be overbearing and selfish and someone who has to dominate. And sometimes people are like that because insecurity, or maybe they're not reading the room and they just need to just fill the space with every word. There's different reasons. But maybe if you're one of those people, maybe think of, why is that? I'm not coming at you. I'm an introvert in person. I need all the things I'm going to be sharing, I still need to work on, by the way. But sometimes I know when I'm nervous or anything, I will fill up the space when I don't need to. Because also part of communicating is listening. And you can't listen when all you're doing is filling the air and sucking all the oxygen out of the room. All right, so let's take a quick break. When I come back, we're going to dive right into finding your voice. All right, welcome back. Hope you got something, a little nourishment, a little bio break maybe. Maybe you just played with the cat. I don't know. That wasn't a euphemism. It's just literally playing. Anyway, I'll just shut up. All right. So, you know, one thing I was thinking on this break is, before I dive into these ways that you can find your voice and et cetera, is one thing we learned in the program is about vocal variety. And so that keeps you away from just being a one-note wonder, like just monotone, always talking like this. How are you doing? Let me tell you a story about the day that this guy came, broke into my... Like that, there's no vocal variety at all. And vocal variety is literally just changing up your pitch and tone and pace and cadence, et cetera, et cetera. And so my kitchen voice wasn't always up here. Just like you're never always going to be up here or always down here. You want to shift it up a bit. There's times where you want to lean in and be a little quieter. There's other times you're going to expand and open up space. There's going to be times where it's a little bit higher and a little bit lower and a little slower. And times it's really going to be excited and happening, going blah, blah, blah. And just a reminder that as you communicate, I think we talked about in an episode here, I'm going to have to find it, you know, communication, most of it is nonverbal. Like, we pick up on so many nonverbal cues, you know, face and tone and intonation, body, you know, posture, structure, all that stuff. And so part of communicating, part of your voice is having the vocal variety and also the matching nonverbals. So when we're communicating, when you're communicating with someone, it's a mixed message. Imagine if someone's saying, I'm really sorry, you know, like, you know, let's say they're breaking the news of a loved one who's been hurt or something, and they're smiling. Like, it would be like, what? And so part of leading, and one of the things I learned in communicating, this is over the years, is really matching the tone, matching the cadence, matching everything to the message that you're spreading, or, you know, anything you're communicating. And I think we all know that, but sometimes we get caught up in ourselves and we forget that we're talking to someone who also has feelings, and, you know, this is where empathy comes in. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that in. I don't want to get too far down there, but there's so much more than just the voice. There's the intention behind the voice, the energy behind the voice as well. So, all right, enough of yappa, yappa, yappa. Let's look at the five ways. These are five ways that you can help open yourself up to find your voice. So the first one is speak with confidence. Now, this doesn't mean booming pronouncements. Confidence comes through clarity and intent in your voice, what I was just talking about. This is about generally speaking at a moderate pace, enunciating your words well, and avoiding vocal fillers like or like. That, those will come. When I speak, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? When you know, informally, I do say and like often. I'm not trying to cut them all out. I know some people, when they record podcasts, they go and remove every and like. I'm like, are you nuts? You'll be there all day, because I definitely say them. I have other words too, like just and you know, all those things. But if I am communicating, I am going to be a little bit more, I'm going to watch out more for those. Also have like a strong posture, as I was talking about. So you can project. It's hard to project when you're curled up like this. And, hey guys, can you really work on that? No, it's like, hey guys, I need you to work on this thing so we can get this done today, et cetera, et cetera. So, cause this is your vessel, right? You want to be able to have it clear and open. Another thing is like, are you muttering and mumbling? That's going to be hard if you're like, hey guys, can you, they're like, what? Again, they're not going to see you as confident because you're not coming across as confident. And you don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to be a brash. Sometimes we think a confident voice is someone who's like, who's braggadocious or anything like that. If you're having a hard time putting that together, you know, just think about a time at work, maybe most likely work, but anywhere where you were in your fullness, you were in authority. And think about how you spoke to others when you were just like, yeah, boom, then, ding. Think about that and see if you can bring that into your day-to-day life. Okay, number two is find your voice. And I mean, literally, explore your vocal range. Again, this vocal variety. Like, can you project? Can you whisper effectively? You know, maybe just practice reading things aloud and record yourself. I know a lot of people hate their voice. Oh God, it's so gross. It's never how we think it is. But if you were to read something out loud, like notice places, and this is a great one. Notice where your voice weakens or trails off. You know, try playing with different volumes, tones, pitches. Again, all these things I spoke of just recently. Discover, like, you may find a way that feels authentic and powerful to you. Like, are you playing small in your range? Are you, or overbearing at times? Are you sucking the air out of the room so no one can breathe? Or maybe you're the opposite and you're holding your breath so others can take up the space that is meant for you. So take a look at that, because it does make things differently. And there, you can be a powerful force and a powerful voice without it having to be booming. You know, there's those people that they're a little on the quieter side, but when they speak, man, you listen. So it's not about volume. It's about the energy behind it. Three, embrace the active voice. So when you're asking for something that you want, use the active voice. So instead of saying something like, oh, maybe I could get, just say, I would like to have. Right? Like in writing, they talk about the passive voice as being weak. Sometimes it can be used for effect, like maybe a character that does feel small and we want to show it, so we'll put things in the passive voice. But when you're in the active voice, it makes your requests clear and direct, right? It's like using I statements takes ownership of your needs and your desires. Words like just, and I did a video on this too, the word just really weakens things. I still struggle with that. I'm still working on removing just in many situations. It's just something that, see, I just said it. It's important to remove some of those weakening words. You know, my youngest, when he was little, he would see us eating something and he would ask, does that taste good? Instead of asking, can I have a bite of that? Hey, can I try some? And we had to like teach him. It's like, because we knew what he was asking, but he was a little afraid to ask for it. And so again, this is like, don't pussyfoot around. Be active and bring yourself into the conversation. Okay, 4, contribute verbally. In conversations and meetings, don't be afraid to share your ideas. I am so guilty of this. This is probably one of my biggest things. If you're introverted like me, offering well-considered thoughts can make you more visible, right? You can start by simply adding comments on, you know, or asking questions to build your participation. So again, you don't have to sit in the room and make this big declaration. Blah, blah, blah. If someone says something, maybe just tack on to that. Hey, I think that's a great idea because I saw once or we once did this. So you can just, at first, you can just grab on to the coattails of someone else just to get you into the room, so to speak. This, again, this is a huge one for me because I would always hold back. Because I felt like other people were just sucking all the oxygen out of the room. And I was just like, well, there's no space for me. Now, that's a me thing. You know, they have their own shit to deal with. Me, I was just using that as an excuse to not say anything. But there were so many, I don't know about you, have you ever had times where in your meeting, and you're like, I've got to say this, oh, or they're all doing this wrong. Oh my God, this is so wrong. Oh, this is the, and you don't say anything. And then later they do the thing, it's wrong. And you're like, yeah, actually, you know, Bob, I was going to say we should do this. Like Bob would probably rip your face off because like you should have said that. And I say that because that's happened to me. Like I've been that person. I've been on both sides of that. Or I'm like, why didn't you say that? That's such a brilliant idea. We didn't think of it. You did. Like, why didn't you say anything? Because they had the same thing. They just felt like it's not their place. Who are they to do it? Like, again, it was a them thing. But if you're in front of people, just practice stepping into the room little by little. And I say that for me as much as I say it for you. Lastly, 5, express yourself creatively. There's so many different ways that you can use your voice creatively, like literally, like it could be singing. You could use to play a musical instrument. Like I play the flute, so I need to use my mouth to the embouchure and to, you know, the attack and the sustain, all that kind of stuff. You know, you can do public speaking like I just recently did, or storytelling in any way. Even things like leaving voicemail messages with a little bit of your personality can help connect your voice with you, and you can be more comfortable using it. Like practice, use it, like literally practice it. Say things out loud. You know, earlier I talked about not liking our voice. That was me when I first started podcasting is where I started to use my voice, to hear it, to accept it, to be more comfortable with it. My first few episodes of my first ever podcast, which was called Buzzkill, it was about addiction recovery, they were barely audible. Like, not only technically, like I wasn't technical with all the apps and the setup and the gear and all that. So there was like buzzing, but my voice was low. All my levels were low. It was a reflection of where I was at. I was just, I didn't like hearing it. I didn't want to hear my voice back. But I did it and I kept doing it. And eventually I started to accept my voice and like, that's my voice. So I can hear my voice over and over and I don't cringe like I used to. And also because I've been practicing, and anyone who does speak often, if you do a podcast or you do storytelling, you do poetry readings, whatever it is you do, you notice that there's a big difference between how you started and the way you sound now. And for me, definitely there's been a huge difference. And I keep it. The more I do this, the more I change. The more I do public speaking, the more I'm going to change. My body language is going to change. I'm going to be more confident. I'm going to step into things more. And so can you. If you choose to. And I'm not talking, again, I'm not talking about you're going to be on the stage talking about the next iPhone that just, you're not doing that. But you might be running a meeting with three other people. You might be in charge of your, you know, fantasy football league with your buddies, you know, just, or with your family and trying to figure something out, and you're having a family meeting, you're sorting things out. Be clear. Allow yourself to use that voice. Like, start using the voice that you were given. And I know it can be scary, but listen, if this guy right here, moi, can do it, so can you. And I was never a talker. I was never someone who injected themselves into conversations. I was never someone who wanted to be seen, let alone heard. So again, you don't have to be on stages or behind podiums or holding court at a gathering to use your voice. Use it in your everyday to ask for what you need, to share your brilliance, and just to be your amazing self. That's all that's required. Now, speaking of required, I kindly ask, subscribe, review, comment, like, share, or interact with this podcast in any way. It makes a huge difference, especially when you're a teeny tiny little channel like I am. I really appreciate it. So thanks again for being here. Wonderful to have you here. And now the kitchen's closed. So scram.